Say some very, very musical family. And love the Lord. His parents are back yonder somewhere. Where are y'all? Oh, there they are. Stand up back there, Daniel and Miss Candace and the rest of them back there. Amen. I call them the Duggars, but they've not caught up with the Duggars yet. But that's a compliment. I mean that as a compliment. Make sure he's on getting loud here, y'all. And y'all, we're glad that they're with us. And they homeschool these kids. And they all play music and everything. And I saw him. He's going to sing a song for us. And I don't know what he's going to sing. Man of Constant Sorrow, I think. I bet he can. All right. Amen. You pray for him.
It's a blessing to be here this morning. I tell you what, I don't know if I want to go up and sing after that little boy. What's his name, Austin?
Yeah.
But he tore it up. I'm going to hire him for a cookout or something.
Amen.
I'd like to thank y'all for welcoming me here this morning. Y'all really took me in, and everybody's been real friendly, and blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be here this morning in the church, because, you know, if we was over in Syria or somewhere right now, we'd all be dead. You know, we couldn't do this, you know. And it's a blessing to have a good God that's loving and watches after us. This is a song. It's about Noah's Ark, and it also talks about the end of times, and I don't believe they're too far away, so y'all listen closely to the words. God gave Noah the rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave Noah the rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave Noah the rainbow sign to feed him on water, put the fire next time. I cried, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. Lazarus, pour his eye, don't you see? Poor old Lazarus, pour his eye, don't you see? Poor old Lazarus, pour his eye, now he's got a home upon high. I cried, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. I gave no other rainbow sign, don't you see? I gave no other rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave no other rainbow sign to feed no more water but the vine next time. I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. East and west, stand by me. North and south, east and west, stand by me. North and south, east and west, Lord have mercy, may I do my best. I cried, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. God gave no other rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave no other rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave no other rainbow sign to be no more water but to buy next time. I cried, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. When this world's on fire, hide thou me. When this world's on fire, hide thou me. When this world's all on fire, let God's will be my heart's desire. I cried, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. God gave me a rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave no other rainbow sign, don't you see? God gave no other rainbow sign to feed them water but the fire next time. I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me. I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, pray for me.
Hey. Amen. Turn him off, man. All right. Enjoyed that. Say amen. Amen. I wasn't too far off, was I? Amen. What about that? Appreciate it, man. It's only, how old are you, bro?
19
years old. That's how old I was when I started preaching. Amen. I thought anybody can play guitar and sing, I won't preach. But I praise the Lord for that. And that young man lived for the Lord and used his talent for the Lord. Amen. Appreciate that. And their whole family, they do harmonicas and big bass fiddle and all kind of stuff like that. What a blessing that is. All right. Let's open your Bible this morning to Psalm 12. Psalm 12 this morning. And I think I'm going to read a verse there as we get started today. And bring you a message. It's on my heart right quick this morning. Psalm 12. And look at verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. This morning, I ask you for your prayers as I bring this message that's been on my heart this week. A little bit different what I did last Sunday morning and usual. So you pray for me. I'll give you a lot of information that you can be able to use, and you might have to go back and listen to it a few times to get it all. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's number of completion. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. What's that? The words from this generation forever. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the seven wonders of all time. The seven wonders of all time. You hear a lot of people today on the news, they'll say, well, so-and-so's a great athlete, so-and-so's a great football player, so-and-so's great, but the greatest of all time was so-and-so. So-and-so's a good fighter, so-and-so's a good boxer, but the greatest of all time was, no, he wasn't either. There'll be a lot of people say, the greatest of all time baseball pitcher was so-and-so. The greatest of all time. Now, I will talk about this morning the seven wonders of all time. The greatest of the great, the best of the best. I read earlier that there was the seven ancient wonders of the world. You remember reading about the seven wonders of the world. The ancient ones were first the Great Pyramid. In my opinion, still one of the most amazing wonders of this world. There's no way slaves or Egyptians could have built that thing. We'll talk about that some other time. Then the second was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Artemis, the Statue of Zeus, the Mausoleum there, the Colosseum of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse of Alexander. That's ancient seven wonders. And then there was the seven wonders of the natural world, things that were just already here. They said that would be the Grand Canyon, the Great Barrier Reef, the harbor at Rio de Janeiro, Mount Everest, the Northern Lights, them lights that flash in the sky up north, and the Particulate Volcano and Victoria Falls. That would be the seven wonders of the natural world. And truly, all those were amazing things. But I'd like to give you God's and mine greatest wonders of all time. The first one we would look at this morning would be none other than the Bible itself. And the Bible is an absolute wonder. This book right here, it's a miracle that we have it. It's a miracle how it was preserved. It's a miracle what it contains. I mean, in 66 books, it contains all of our history, all of our present, and all of our future. Everything we need to know about life, marriage, child rearing, conduct our life, is right here in the pages of that book. I like what Brother Ed McAbee said. Somebody came up to me one time and he said, you Christians are pretty narrow-minded, aren't you? And he said, yeah. He said, I guess we are. He said, you see that right there? We go from there to there. That's how narrow-minded we are. If it's outside of that, we don't believe it. It's outside of that, we don't believe it. That's a pretty good philosophy to go by. This book is on the seven wonders of the world. 66 books in one book. 1,189 chapters in one book.
31,173 verses in this book. 773,692 words in that book. And 3,586,489 letters in that book. There's nothing in this world like it. The word Lord is in that book 1,855 times. The word Reverend is in that book only once. And it's not talking about a man. That's why we don't call me Reverend. They call me Brother. It's talking about God Himself. The longest chapter in that Bible is Psalm 119 with 176 verses. Isn't it strange? When David wrote those Psalms, he didn't even know there was going to be a Bible. And when the 40 authors of the Bible penned their manuscript, they never knew that it was all going to come together. And the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. Lo and behold, the shortest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 117. Only a couple of verses. And do you know where the middle of the Bible out of those 3 million letters happens to be? Psalm 118 and verse 8. Right between the longest and the shortest. Most of these men never even knew each other. They never met. They never knew. And guess where the middle of the Bible is? Psalm 118 verse 8. You know what it says? It says, it is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know the two middle words of the Bible are the Lord? That is, if you got the right Bible, if you got the NIV, don't tell what it's liable to be. But there's 66 books inspired by the Word of God. Amen. Somebody asked a little kid one time, they said, which Bible do you use? And he said, I use the one God uses. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. This old book right here has got the job done. We don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread it. We don't need a new Bible. We need to live by the old Bible. The one that we got. There's nothing in the world like that book, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. Our Bible in the form of the King James Bible, which we possess today, comes from a long line of Bibles, starting with the original manuscripts, going from the old Syriac translations of 200 A.D., the old Latin translations of 300 A.D., Martin Luther's Bible, Erasmus, Stephanus, that's Greek, Tyndale, William Tyndale was one of the greatest men that's ever lived, and he was one of the first men to translate from Greek into English, and he was burned at the stake in 1525 for his work. He didn't get rich off of it. He didn't make royalties off of it. They burned him. They tied him up at the stake like that. At that time, the church, the real church, was underground, and the Catholic Church ruled the world. And old William Tyndale, they tied him at the stake, set him on fire, and he's tied up burning like this right here. And you know what William Tyndale said? The last words William Tyndale ever said on this earth were, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. That was King James the First over there in England. And God answered that prayer. And God moved on him. He commissioned the translation of the English Bible in 1604. Took them 7, wouldn't you know it, years. And in 1611, the greatest book that ever hit the planet came out, of which we possess it right here this morning. I tell you, it's a wonder. That book's a wonder. There ain't nothing like that book right there. I tell you, them other Bibles come from Alexandrian manuscripts, from Origen, Theodotion, Griesbach, Tischendorf, the RV of 1885. That's the wrong line. They got about 80% of it right and 20% cut out and messed up. That's why we stick with the old blessed book that'll get the job done. I'm telling you what, in Luke 17:30, it said, how did the Bible know that it could be daylight and dark at the same time? And scientists didn't know it until a few hundred years ago when they found out the earth was round. And the Bible says it. So Luke 17:30, the Lord said, in that day when the Son of Man cometh, there shall be two men working in the field, in that night, and there'd be day and night at the same time on the planet. Nobody talked like that back then. They thought it was daylight everywhere or dark everywhere. How many knew that in Isaiah 40 and verse 22 that the old Bible said the earth was round? And you know that all the scientists believed at that time the earth was flat? And they believe if you kept walking far enough, you just fall off somewhere into wherever. But the Bible said in Isaiah 40, it is He that sits on the circle of the earth. And God, you say, well, one man said, well, the Bible said the four corners of the earth, so it ain't right. No, he's just talking plain so you can understand it. Four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. Just like your newspaper says it. They said, well, the sun, talking about sunrise. The sun don't really rise. The newspaper says it does. And so it comes up, sunrise, sunset. Just like the Bible. The Bible's made for common sense people, not educated nuts that can't see past their degree. Now, I'll tell you something, brother. That old book said in Ecclesiastes 1:7 that all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. From the place where the rivers came, thither they return. Isn't that something? They didn't know that back then. It said all the rivers run into the sea, but the sea is not full. The ocean don't never get no deeper. You know why? Because the sun shines on it and it evaporates that salt water, and the water stays in the ocean, and the water comes up and goes to Mount Mitchell and it rains up there and runs right back down here and does it again. That's God's circulatory system of water in this world. I can preach a whole sermon on these, on the Bible, but we got six more wonders to go. And I'll tell you that. Listen, the water, that water you drank this morning, there ain't no telling who drunk. Pharaoh probably might have drunk that. In Egypt, back thousands of years ago. That's a bad thought, ain't it? But it gets purified. Thank God. It gets purified. Hallelujah. Hey, all the rivers run in the same place. The Bible said in Leviticus 15 and verse 13, he shall bathe his flesh in running water. Did you know doctors didn't know that until a few hundred years ago? That's the way to get rid of germs, and wash in running water. They didn't know there was such thing as that. I'm telling you, the Bible talks about earthquakes. In 1900 to 1950, there were three major earthquakes every 10 years. But in 1948, something changed. 1948 is when Israel became a nation again, and the Lord said, Israel's fig tree nation, He said, when the fig tree puts forth its leaves and buds, He said, that generation that sees that will not pass till everything be fulfilled. And you know what? That's 1948. A generation in the Bible can be anywhere from 20 to 40 to 100 years. And so we don't know how long we got, but He said that generation would not pass. So the fig tree put forth its leaves and buds. Israel became a nation, and guess what happened? Earthquake stepped up. From 1946 to 1956, seven major ones per year. From 56 to 66, when the Beatles and the hippies came, it jumped to 17 a year. From 66 to 76, when it even got worse, Satanic Church, Satanic Bible, 180 major earthquakes per year. A 6,000% increase in earthquakes in about 40 or 50 years. You know who said that would happen? That wonderful book right there. That book tells them, listen, you know why people don't read the Bible? Because it knows all about you and tells it. I'm telling you, buddy, it's like looking in a mirror. You're looking at it like, oh, good night. I mean, it'll nail you to the wall, buddy. That book right there knows, read your thoughts and the intents of your heart. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a book like that. There never will be a book like that. That book right there will get the job done in your life. And if I wasn't a big shot reverend from the downtown section, I'd shout right there. I'm a brother. It's in red. Amen. I'm telling you, over 300 prophecies just fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood in Leviticus 17:11. They didn't know that. You know what they'd done back in the old days? They bled people trying to get rid of their disease. They thought your disease in your blood, so if they bled you out, you'd get well. That's how they killed a lot of people. But the Bible said the life of the flesh, of course, is in the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible is a wonder. Secondly, this morning, we'll move quickly. We have the universe itself. It will be my second wonder this morning. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the Bible said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. They say, on a clear night, with the naked eye, a person can see 3,000 stars. I have no idea how they can count that many. You ever tried to count stars? It ain't easy. You get started over here, and you get started over here, and you get... I don't remember where it was. And you can't count them things. And and that's just a big, very, very, very small portion. No scale model of the universe. They say there's 100 billion stars just in our. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how they can know that. They claim they do. I don't know how they can say that. You say, well, they got these telescopes. They count them. Yeah. And the Bible said there's a sea of glass out there too. And that's a reflection. You don't know how many stars you're seeing or what God's got on the other side of it. You don't know. They just think that. Remember, they used to believe the earth was flat. Remember, they used to thought they cut you and get rid of your disease. Remember, so the moral of the story is, don't put a whole lot of stock in what a scientist said, especially if it contradicts the Bible. Don't put none in it. They say there's no scale model of the universe. And the reason it can't be a scale model, you know what a scale model is? Like if somebody do the sun, and then they do Neptune, Pluto, Earth, Mars, Venus, Saturn, all of them, and they would have the sun the exact size, the moon as a ratio on a scale, how big the Earth would really be. And they can't do one of the universe because if you took the Earth size of a ping pong ball, about an inch, and let that represent the Earth, the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, would be 51,000 miles from here. So it's impossible to make a scale model of the universe. The Earth itself spins on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. Zoom! Like that right there. Ain't no wonder you're crazy. You're also going around the sun. We're spinning like this, and at the same time, we're going around the sun like that. And that's what we're doing. We're going around like this, and then we're going like that's the sun. Well, we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and we're going around the sun. I'm a little woozy right now. We're going around the sun at 18 miles per second, making us going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And the trip we make around the sun never varies more than 1/10,000th of a second or a minute. It's always perfect, that trip around the sun. Now, if you're an evolutionist, you believe that just happened by sheer accident. It'd be like my watch saying that a bunch of screws and stuff just fell off and it got together and it just started ticking and accidentally starts keeping perfect time. I mean, it takes a fool to believe that. That's what the Bible said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the universe itself, we could go on and on and on. But let me say thirdly this morning, the third wonder of all time would be man. Man himself. Psalm 139 and verse 14, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know God made man from the dust of the earth? And they said that they took the dust of the earth and they found 14 major chemicals that make up the dust of the earth. And all 14 of those chemicals make up our body. Just accident, I reckon. That the Bible said it exactly right. Have you thought about your eyes? No scientist can figure it out. Just our eyes. How our eyes can focus on that flag, speaker, floor, shirt, pulpit, sign, light, microphone, floor, shoe, flower, piece of paper, carpet, table, door, board, chandelier. My eyes focus on every one of them. They ain't a camera. No. You said, well, they made a camera, Brother Danny, that can do that. You're the one that said it. Somebody made it. It wasn't here by accident. And there's no way that these eyes are an accident. It can't be. The Bible said it's fearfully and wonderfully made. You believe we just evolved eyes? They didn't used to have them, but then they did. And they just thought amoebas didn't have eyes, and then they evolved in a tadpole and a monkey and a orangutan, a baboon, and then a businessman. And next thing you know, and they had eyes in there somehow or another. The ear. Did you know your inner ear is like a keyboard that can hear 15,000 different keys, like musical notes and things like that. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 said, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made them both." Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Your digestive tract. I know you're getting hungry right now, but they say that food satisfies hunger. And your digestive system, see, if you didn't have a digestive system, food wouldn't do you no good. You just put food in there. But you got enzymes. And enzymes, as soon as food gets in your mouth, starts digesting it. It don't even wait till you swallow it. Start digesting it when you're out. That's why your mama said, chew your food. Chew it and chew it and chew it. How many supposed 32 times? I'd use my whole meal 32 times. I just put it in my mouth and swallow it. I used to go out to eat with this boy, and I'd be done sitting there eating, watching him eat. And I said, man, he'd chew applesauce. I don't care what he put in his mouth, he'd just chew and chew. I said, swallow that stuff, man. But they say really it's good for you if you chew it and chew it, because you start digesting it. I'm like a dog, just swallow it whole, brother. My goal is get the food off the plate and in my stomach. That's my goal when I sit down. Not enjoy the atmosphere, see the lights, camera. Get the food out of that plate and in my gut and get out of here. That's my goal. That's what it's supposed to be. But anyway, the Lord said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Think about that. Did you know the average, a dark-haired lady would have 110,000 hairs on her head, and a blonde-haired lady would have 140,000 average. I guess because they're thinner, so I don't know why that is. But if you have dark hair, 110,000, a woman. Now you men, you can't play this game. Something happened, y'all. It fell. If it's off here, it's on here. It fell from here to here somehow or another. But anyway, like that one fellow bought him a chest toupee. He went and glued it on there. But anyway, if you are, that's a whole lot of hair. And the Bible said God had all the hairs of your head numbered. Amen. One fellow had a bumper sticker that said, God has all the hairs of your head numbered. And in parentheses it said, and your wig too. He's got you. Amen? That's the third wonder of the world is man himself. In a 24-hour period, your heart beats 103,000 times. Your blood circulates every 23 seconds and travels 168 million miles. You breathe over 20,000 times. Just you use 750 muscles. You eat 3 pounds, some of you, food a day. And you produce 98.6 there are temperature, and that is exactly 66.6 above freezing, which is 32 degrees. Strange, isn't it? I'm telling you tonight, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, our body is a wonder that God made. Number four, let me say fourthly this morning, it's the Jewish people. Israel, the Jews. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 64, the Bible said, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth to the other. And that definitely happened. In those days, God scattered those Jews all over the world. But let me tell you something this morning. And when you watch the news, and when you see ISIS on TV, and you see all them crazy people and blowing up buildings and terrorists and threat, remember what your Bible said about the Jew. God promised that land to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, His promise is unconditional. God said unto thee and thy children, I'll give the land. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave the land of Israel, Palestine, to the Jews. They own it. They will always own it. Nobody will ever take them out of that. Do you know what the odds are that happened? There's only like 5 million Jews or less in Israel now, and they're surrounded by 100 million enemies that would love to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Did you know that every ancient tribe and people all vanished off the earth? When's the last time you met a Babylonian? When's the last time you met an Amalekite or an Amorite or Skeeterbite or whatever all them people was back there? You don't never meet nobody like that. But there's still Jews today. Hebrews speak the same Hebrew they spoke back in the Old Testament. God has preserved those people. He brought them back to the land in 1948. The flag went up. Israel became a nation again, and they ain't going nowhere. They started going back home, like the prophecy said, by the tens of thousands in 1948. He said they'll never leave again. Amos chapter 8, the survival of Israel will be assured in Ezekiel 29:38. And ladies and gentlemen, God's bringing them back right where they're supposed to be. They said, if a man don't believe the Bible, all you got to do is say, look at that Jew. You study that Jew. There has to be a God taking care of him. Number five, the fifth wonder of all time would be the plan of salvation itself. The Bible said in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? How that God loved sinners like me and you. How that me and you could come here in this building in 2015 and kneel down and by faith believe something that happened 2,000 years ago. And a man that shed his blood on a cross 2,000 years ago, blood in heaven would be the propitiation, the payment, the go-between between God and our sin. That's a wonder, brother. That's a wonder. I'm telling you, there ain't no other religion in the world got nothing to offer you like that. I'm telling you, every religion in the world, it's do this and do that and do the other and try to... Listen, Christianity, salvation ain't a bunch of do's. Salvation is done. The great work was done. He said when he died, it is finished. The Son of God became the Son of Man that the Son of Man might become Son of God. The Son of Man became death on the cross so that me and you, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He's our best friend. He's our help. He's our hope. He's the one we worship. He's the reason I'm here. He's who I preach about. He's a wonder, brother. The wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. You think about that this morning. He sympathizes. He helps us. Jesus Christ is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overcomer and the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of the princes. He's the Lord of the Lord. He's the king of the kings. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe it, but He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. He's the hero of the heroes. The world can't contain Him, let alone explain Him. You can't get Him out of your mind, and you can't get Him off your hands. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him, and the witnesses' testimony couldn't agree. Herod couldn't kill Him, death couldn't hold Him, and the grave couldn't keep Him. There ain't nothing like it. Lord of God, hallelujah, I'm telling you this morning, that's a marvel. I tell you, we ought to just stop and shout a while today. Amen. I'm telling you something, people. That's worth driving a few miles to learn. That's worth. I'm telling you, He's the greatest of the great. He's the highest of the high. Amen, Brother Michael. He's done something for that old boy. He's done something for me, too. And if He's done something for you, He'll show up on you once. If the Lord's ever done something for you, it'll show up on you once in a while. There ain't nobody like Him. There ain't nobody can compare to Him. I'm telling you, He's a wonder this morning. Let me say quickly, I'll hurry. The church is the sixth wonder. The church. You know they've tried to stop the church ever since it started 2,000 years ago. You realize that a little bus kid, little snotty-nosed kid can come up here this morning and say, Jesus, I want you to save me and come into my heart, and he's just as much a part of the church as Billy Graham. Amen. What about that? Ain't that? You don't find no other religion like that. Well, that's he's equal to Billy Graham. Amen? I'm telling you something this morning. The church, look at all of us in here. Lord, have mercy. There's a bunch of rednecks in here today. I mean, a bunch of losers. What God's done for us, it's amazing, ain't it? I wouldn't be worth shooting if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't be worth shooting if I didn't get saved. God saved me and made me a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first started preaching, I'd meet somebody and say, Danny, you're a preacher now? I said, yeah. Well, how did you get to be a preacher? I said, Lord, call me. They said, what Bible school did you go to? I said, nine. On purpose. So the Yankees didn't even know what nine meant. Nine or one, neither one. And they said, well, how did you just start preaching? I said, Lord, call me to preach. I start preaching. And they said, but you mean you can just up and be a preacher? I said, if God calls you, you can. I know he did. Somebody said, how did you know you was called to preach? I was working the second shift over here in Morganton. I was working on this machine. And I got up third shift. And I was working on that machine. And the whole time I was working, I could see big crowds of people. And I was up just letting them have it. And I've been saved about 6 or 8 months. And I said, boy, that'd be good. Somebody needs to say that. Somebody. And I mean, every boy is burning up. And his word is in my heart as a burning fire. And I could not say, I didn't have no choice. It wasn't my choice. It was him. Listen, brother, you don't sign up for the ministry. You don't choose the ministry. You are chosen for the ministry. I don't understand it, but I know it's right and it's true. The church is a wonder. North, the south, the east, the west, the drops, the princes and kings, prime ministers, monarchs, all part of the same church. Number seven, I'm through this morning. The rapture and the coming millennial reign is the seventh wonder of all time. The resurrection of the dead saints and the translation of the living saints. In Luke 1:32, the banquet said, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That means Jesus Christ is one day going to sit down on the throne of David and rule in this world for 1,000 years. Man said one time, he said, what do you think that 1,000 years represents? I said, all right, now this is deep. 1,000 years. That's what it represents. Amen. It says it 6 times over there. It's not symbolic. It's not spiritual. Six times, 1,000 years. That means one of these days, or I'm going to be up here preaching, or I'm going to be driving down the road, or I'm going to be doing something one time, all of a sudden I'm going to hear a trumpet sound. And when that trumpet sound, it's going to sound like this. Danny Castle, come up hither. And you won't hear that. You'll hear Jeremy Huggins, come up hither. And you'll hear Joey Minix, come up hither. You'll hear your name. He'll call your name. The old folks used to sing, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Think about it. It might happen on the way home this evening. I'm telling you, I will finish tonight's service up there if it happens this evening. I said, Lord, will you let shining light get together over here in the corner somewhere? Let us shout a little while and God might let us do it. I don't know, but I know He's coming. I know He's coming soon. It could happen this morning. Then, oh, you know what? It's going to break loose down here. That's why the mark's coming. That's why they're talking about chipping your pets and your children, putting computer chips in them. That's why all this unstable instability is over there in the Middle East. It's all getting ready for a world ruler to step out on the scene. And he's called the Antichrist. And he's going to call a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And if you don't accept it, you'll be killed. And if you do accept it, you'll be damned. You don't want to be here during that time. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You don't want to be here during that time. If there's that much doubt, you're saved. I'm telling you, you don't want to be here during that. That's a wonder. It's all going to unfold and turn out just like God said. The seventh wonder. What are we going to do in the millennium? I don't know. Bible said we're going to rule and reign with Him. If we suffer with Him now, we'll reign with Him then. Uncle Ruckman says we'll go down the street throwing golf balls at the liquor store. That'd be fun. Do all kind of stuff. Have a rod of iron. Somebody ain't doing right, whack, in the head with a rod of iron. I don't know about all that. But He's going to rule it. He'll rule this world. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? David Letterman. Get down. I ain't bowing enough. Get down. Get down and admit that Jesus is Lord. Bill Maher. Get down. Little squirt. I know that's the silliest story I've ever... Get out! He'll go down. All you tough friends at school, all you people at work that claim to be atheists, they're going to bow their knee one day at His feet. You might as well do it now and get it over with while it's easy. Because you'll do it then against your will. That's the seven wonders of all time. You could take a month and preach on every one of them. I give them to you all in 25 minutes. You got to deal with it now. It's up to you. Let's stand. Bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.